Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, okay, throw in the towel.
Oh, we're throwing in the towel. There you go.
Throwing it in. It's a Friday.
That's how we start today, throwing in the towel.
Hey, I'm Mariel Segarra. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kyle Risdahl. It is Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap. The live stream is up and running. Thank you for joining wherever you are finding us, podcast, the YouTube live stream. I'm hoping somebody on the back end is monitoring Discord in Ms. Woods' absence. But that's where we are. That's where we are.
Yeah. Today is also the day in which we play the game Half Full, Half Empty, which I've never played before, so I'm really excited.
Oh, is that right? It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Of course,
it all depends on...
All depends on Drew Jostad. If Drew's good, it's good. If Drew's not good, then it's terrible. So it's all on him. You and I just have to answer the questions.
Okay. I'm a little worried. Like, there have been times when you've done them where I was like, I don't know that one. So we'll see if I get tripped up here.
To be clear, there is no shame in not knowing the news story. I don't know. You know, Stephen Bion and Mel are the ones who put this together. Sometimes they're a little, you know, I don't know. All right, so let's see. So it's Friday. I'm having my standard hazy IPA just because I'm in that kind of a mood. And after I get off this podcast, I'm going to have another one because I can. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
I should actually open mine up. So I'm doing a fall drink. It's I just have to pour it. So it's ginger beer plus a sparkling apple cider, plus a slice of apple and a cinnamon stick.
Oh, nice. Very fall. Very festive.
Yeah. So that plus my little candle. I feel like I'm...
the orange sweater.
Leaning into fall. Yeah, I'm trying. hang on. Let's see.
Has it been pouring in New York today?
Just miserable, you know, like it's just one of those dreary days where you're like, the sun will not come out today, so I'm gonna have to turn on every light in my house.
Bring yourself some levity. Matthew Clark likes ginger beer. Ginger beer,
it's pretty
Debbie
good.
Donovan, oh my god, loving her drink. Okay, go ahead. What would you like to do for your news item, Miss Cigar?
I think the big news for me today was that the FDA has given emergency authorization for the Pfizer vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. So well, that's obviously a big deal. I know a lot of parents who have been waiting for this. And so for them, it means that they can now go back to an office, or they can go back to, you know, going to restaurants indoors and stuff once their kid gets vaccinated fully. But also a lot of parents who have a kid who's like, you know, 5 or 6 might also have a 3-year-old. So they're still not eligible for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. I do wonder what the uptake is going to be. I mean, there have been, you know, all the parents I know who have 5 to 11-year-olds are like, yes, let's go. But one does fear that there are going to be a bunch of people who aren't going to do it for their kids. And I mean, that's kind of a shame, I think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder about the schools and whether they're going to mandate it, because that's going to cause a big fight, I'm sure, in a lot of places. And I think some schools have already said they will, but, you know, it's probably a school district by school district thing, or maybe statewide.
Yeah, and I think, well, so it's going to be statewide, certainly here in California, right? Newsom has already said, once it's fully approved, if you're going to go to a public school in California, you got to be vaxxed. Of course, not fully approved yet, it's just EUA, but still. Okay. Do you want to do your Starbucks one? You want to do that one too? Cause you know, it's Friday. We got all the time in the world.
Oh yeah, sure. I just saw that, Starbucks workers will be voting on a union at 3 of their stores in Buffalo. And it's interesting. I mean, I wonder what's going to happen with that. Cause there was all of that talk about an Amazon union. And then they didn't actually vote yes. right? So,
right.
And Starbucks is one of those companies, like, they actually have some pretty good benefits for their workers. I wonder, you know, like, what will, which way the workers will go on it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I kind of expected that Amazon would, that the workers would vote in favor of it. But ultimately, I think Amazon made a case to them, and some would call it, you know, union busting.
Amazon took the letter of the labor law to the fullest possible extent and did what it could to not make that vote go in favor of the union, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And so maybe it's labor laws that need to be changed. So we've talked a lot about crypto on this podcast, and we just got through a conversation on DeFi and all this stuff. There is a great piece in the New York Times today by Eric Lipton and a couple of other reporters about Andreessen Horowitz, which is the big venture capital firm started by Marc Andreessen, who came up with the Netscape Navigator, whatever it was, 25, 30 years ago, and is now a VC at Andreessen Horowitz. And it's a great story about venture capitalists getting into crypto, what they're doing, how they're trying to influence regulation. And it's all of those things we talked about the nature of money, about how you regulate this space, about whether it's actually money or just a speculative investment. And it's about the gears of power. And so it's in the New York Times. Eric Lipton wrote it with Daisuke Wakabayashi and Efrat Livni. Really, really good piece. And it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. And here's why. So this is more big tech taking a big chunk of this economy, just like, oh, I don't know, Facebook has. And the challenge here is that Marc Andreessen has been on the Facebook board of directors for, 13 years, since 2008. And we all know how things are going at Facebook. So read this article, make yourself smart, and then caveat emptor in the crypto space. I really think that's a big story. It's a big story.
Yeah. Super interesting.
All right. And I'm going to do one more quickie. It's a follow-up to something I said on Marketplace on the radio about 2-3 days ago. So it turns out, and this is based on Federal Trade Commission data, it turns out that in 2020, the number of cigarettes sold in the United States went up for the first time in 20 years, which is, number one, not good. And number two, clearly, obviously, pandemic-induced, right? But here you go. There's some data released yesterday by Altria Group, which makes Marlboro, that says total cigarette industry sales volume fell 6.5% in the quarter ended September 30th, which is to say this year. So thankfully, the pandemic stresses about smoking that brought about more smoking have abated, and people are doing the right thing and not smoking anymore. And that's my public health announcement for the day. That's where I am.
I think drinking also went up, right, during the pandemic?
I'm sure it did. Yeah. I don't have the numbers at hand, but you could totally see it, he says, as he sips his beer.
Well, I feel like people went one of two ways. Like, I know a lot of people started drinking more. I actually stopped drinking for a lot of it. I think it just felt like, I don't know, I didn't need anything to feel worse, if that makes any sense. Hmm. Like, I didn't want to wake up, like, hungover after spending a night in isolation.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So it's none of my business. And obviously you can tell me to go bound sand, but where are you now a year and a half after the pandemic? Are you having a glass of wine at night or what?
No, I mean, this is non-alcoholic. I don't really drink much anymore, but
wow.
Yeah. It kind of, I was not a huge drinker before, but I have found every opportunity to not now. Like, it's very easy for me to go out with friends and not drink now.
Wow. Good for you. That's great. It's healthier, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think the pandemic got me back to something simpler, like something more grounded, like stripped back a lot of those things that we do just out of habit.
So not to get all professional on everybody here, but that is that's like a pandemic-induced change that's going to, in behavior, that's going to last. And there are pandemic-induced changes in this economy and in this society and in the way we look at things in this economy. That's all going to play out over the next, like, generation. It's going to be a long while before we understand, actually, what this pandemic did. Sorry, not to get all pontifical here.
No, for sure.
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know? All right, Drew Jostedt, where be you? Also, let me say, Drew, this is now, as I said at the top of the pod, it's entirely on you, pal. If you're good, we're good. If you're terrible, it's not our fault.
No pressure. All right. There was a list of new dictionary words, one of which is,
oh yeah,
in yep. Merriam-Webster's dictionary, blank check company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half full or half
empty. So the word in question is SPAC, right? I'm half empty on the idea of SPACs. I think they're just a recipe for financial disaster, but they should definitely be a word. Also, by the way, in the list of words added to Merriam-Webster this year, dad bod. I just like to point that out. That's it.
Huh.
That's what I got.
It feels a little late for dad bod. Like, wasn't that a word just, 2 years
I don't know.
Ago?
Yeah, I don't know.
They were faster on SPAC. So the question is, am I half full or half empty on the word SPAC being added to the dictionary?
Yes, I believe that is the question.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm half full on that. Seems like it's an important word now. I guess I feel like I'm half empty on dad bod, though.
Okay, me too.
In general, yeah.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. Totally fair. Oh, my goodness. Drew, what's next?
Half full or half empty on Patagonia boycotting Facebook.
Oh, interesting. So I need clarification. It's my use it in a sentence from the spelling bee. Are they not doing business on Facebook, or are they not letting people buy on Facebook? What are they doing?
They are not advertising on Facebook.
Oh, interesting. First of all, I wonder how much Patagonia advertises on Facebook. But look, I think at this point, staying away from Facebook is not a terrible move. I don't know. That's my gut. So I suppose I'm half full on Patagonia staying away from Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it also kind of fits with Patagonia's brand, right? Like, there are these companies
that...
Yeah, for
sure. For sure.
That they, I think Starbucks is like that, or some of the B Corporation companies, Ben and Jerry's, you know, they have certain, they say corporate values, and that's part of their brand. And so I feel like it's one of those things. Like, it's, I wouldn't say it's out of the goodness of their hearts, you know, but.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely kind of a business decision, but with a moral stance. Do you know what I learned the other day?
Yeah.
I learned that Ben & Jerry's, when they sold that ice cream company to Unilever, right, the massive global conglomerate, they retained the right to use the brand name in their social impact statements. I mean, those two are you know, very progressive. They're very outspoken. We've had one of them, I forget who it was, on Marketplace like 15 years ago. But they retained the right to use the brand name in their social progressive activism movement, which I thought was kind of smart of them. Anyway, random thought.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that does sound smart. I mean, I guess I didn't answer the question, by the way, if I'm half full or half empty. I guess that my answer would be half full. Because,
here's the secret to this game. The secret to this game is you don't actually have to answer the question. That's all I'm saying.
That's good to know. I like to follow things to the letter. You know what I mean? I feel like I need to follow the rules, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty lenient with the rules around here.
Okay, good.
All right, this might not be a company where it's part of their brand, but are we half full or half empty on the Hertz Green Pledge?
Oh, yeah, it's not really part of their brand. I guess you go first.
No, you go first. Go ahead. I have no need to weigh in first on this one. I have thoughts, though.
I think I'm going to say half full. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing when companies make a green pledge or you know, try to do something about climate change. I don't know if it will make that huge of a difference, but, you know, got to start somewhere. Half full, a quarter full.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I'm half full on them having made the pledge. I'm half full on them spending $4 billion on 100,000 Teslas. My reservations are twofold. Number one, I wonder how much they paid Tom Brady for that ad that he featured, that he was featured in for them when that news broke, number one. And number two, I don't know how I feel about Elon Musk being the richest man in the world and just milking that platform that he has because he's the richest man in the world for so much weirdness. But that's just me. That's just me.
Well, it'll be interesting as more companies emerge to make or more companies make electric cars and as more climate change solutions emerge, who becomes the richest person in the world? Like who the new richest people in the world are?
Totally. You know? Look, the business upside of climate change is enormous. And that, not to get too sideways here, but that's why it amazes me that conservative Democrats and Republicans are not all in favor of spending government money on climate change because the business upside is enormous, enormous. And yeah. we're walking past opportunities, I think.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you could say there are companies who do things that you believe in, but you don't believe in the person who leads them. Or you don't believe in everything
that
Tesla
fair.
Does.
Totally fair.
But,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And look, let's be clear. Steve Jobs was a grade A jerk, right? He was just a jerk, jerk, jerk. But we all love his company because we're like, ooh, iPhones, you know?
Right.
Anyway.
On a more frivolous note, are you half full or half empty on the McRib NFT? I did that one just for the sigh.
I'm half empty, so a shameless plug for publicity by the McDonald's people climbing on a trend in crypto whatever to make a non-fungible token out of a McRib like JPEG or something. I think number one, I think NFTs have jumped the shark. I think we're done with them. They will decline in relevance and value from here on in. And go ahead at me in the comments. Go ahead, I'm waiting. And number two, McRibs are just not that good. That's where I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say half empty on that.
I also,
just when you said jump the shark, I thought about how I learned not too long ago where that phrase actually comes from.
Seriously?
Happy Days, right?
I
know. Fonzie jumps
Fonzie
over a
literally
shark.
On skis, jumping the shark, wearing his leather jacket.
And it's like, yes. This is over. This is just over.
Yeah, it's over. It's 100% over. I'm done with NFTs. I'm done with the McRib. I'm done with everything. I'm
done with Fonzie.
Ooh, Kimberly Adams in the comments. You lie, Kai. McRibs are delicious. I'm sorry, Kimberly. I love you, but no. Sadly, no.
Hi, Kimberly.
What's next?
All
Drew,
right,
what do we got?
Closing us out. Any conclusions about supply chain worries based on how easy it was for Marielle to get a new fridge?
Oh, what a good question. What a good question. I will let you, Ms. Segura, weigh in first.
It gave me some hope, you know, like it is a good, it's like, I think maybe people are having trouble getting fridges because they have specific fridges they want, you know, but I wasn't particularly picky about it. It didn't take too long. It's sitting right there. It's very nice. I don't have any ice in my drink yet because it literally just arrived today, but I'm very happy.
But look, it died what, like on Monday, and now you have one on Friday? I mean, that's kind of amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it died, I think, even on Tuesday. But, and it,
oh,
it's,
wow.
Yeah. No, it's all right. The way that we talk about it sometimes, I mean, I think the problem is very real, but like for certain people in certain places, and especially when they want, like they have a particular size of fridge they want or whatever, or dishwasher or something. But PC Richard and Sons, man, they had the stuff I needed.
Done. Drew, take us out.
So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. If you have thoughts about this or any episode of Make Me Smart you heard this week, ideas for half full, half empty, whatever, send them to us.
You can do it however you like. Email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org or message us at our website, marketplace.org/makemesmart, or you just leave us a voice memo at our phone. It's 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART at our phone. I don't even know what that means.
Call us. Please. Today's episode of Make Me Smart was produced by Tony Wagner and engineered by Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, Mel Rosenberg, and Stephen Bion, who, oh, by the by, is going to be going away for a little while. Family leave for the second child. I remember when his first baby was born. Holy cow, that was like yesterday. But, you know, we're in capable hands. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad. The interim executive on demand, executive director, rather, of On Demand, is Donna Tam. Donna.
Yeah. Boom. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Oh, my goodness. It's my least favorite holiday, by the way. Have I said that yet on this podcast? I hate it.
Of course it is. You hate pumpkins, too.
Oh, God. I hate it so much.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.